Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome, welcome. So glad you guys are all here today. And it's our last class. I can't believe it. The time went by so quickly. So today, I love today's class. We're going to go deeper. We started last week looking at exercises and, you know, taking your methodology and kind of beefing it up with different types of exercises so that you can really create engaging, so that your content basically becomes even more engaging and transformational and yields results. So we're going to go deeper into that today. I'm going to be teaching you a little bit like I did at the end of last week's call via example. So we're going to be looking at a lot of examples today. And today is really a lot about integration of everything we've learned in these 4 weeks so that we can really like continue to deepen. A housekeeping piece. So even though it's our last class today, I want the lab and the community to be here to support you for a little while longer. And so because of that, I'm going to keep the Facebook group open until September 12th. It's a little later than I had originally said. Some people requested that. So I'm going to keep it open until September 12th. I'm not going to be around that entire time. In fact, after tomorrow, I'm taking a month-long vacation. I'll be in and out, but you know, you might see me online and all of that. But I will pop into the Facebook group when you have questions. It's just not going to be the same amount of turnaround time like these last few weeks where I've really tried, you know, within 24 hours or so to respond to everybody. But you all will be there, and so you can respond to each other. The other thing I wanted to make sure is that you have September 10th marked on your calendar. On September 10th, we're going to be coming back together again live. Let me just get the time. From 1 to 3:30 Eastern. So for 2.5 hours, it's going to be a longer session. And it's the bonus session that's included with Curriculum Lab. It's an online facilitation workshop. So we're going to be looking at some of the foundational pieces for online facilitation then. It'll be really interactive. We're going to be doing, I'm going to show you kind of what you can do online in terms of experiential exercises and all of that. We're actually going to be moving through some of them. We're going to have a circle, and then we'll break it all down. It's going to be a great class. All right, so let me just pause there. Anybody have any questions for me on any of that? Or, you know, we'll have time at the end of our call for Q&A, but just any, like, burning questions right now on your curriculum. So anything on the Facebook group staying open or our online workshop or just anything that you want to ask me before we jump in today? Star two.
Hi, I posted in the Facebook group, but I figured it would be valuable to ask you here. I'm in the process of deciding my pricing for my program, and money mindset and abundance mindset is the foundation of it. And I'm looking at all of the courses online that end in $97.99, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so I'm trying to look at the energetics of, is that coming from a scarcity place or is it a marketing tactic? Uh-huh. And I wondered if you had any input or thoughts around that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's so interesting. Research has been done that when a price ends on an odd number, it is more palatable. I don't know why psychologically it is, but when it ends on an odd number, more people tend to buy it. So if something is priced at, you know, $1,100 or 1098 or $10.99, most people are going to go for the $10.99, even over the $10.98. So I don't think it's a scarcity thing. I do think sometimes if it's right under a big number, it might feel less than the big number, but it's really about the odd number, believe it or not.
Okay, great. Yeah, it was interesting because in my practice, when I charge for my acupuncture rates, it feels really good to keep it instead of like $149 to charge $150 or $199. There seems to be a different energetic when it's that one-on-one component, but I do agree with you that I'm drawn to the
$99 or $97.
Yeah.
So I think what you're bringing forward, though, is an important thing, which is your intuition and what feels right to you always, always, always is more important than any kind of marketing study or psychological study out there. So if you feel drawn to the 7 or the 9 and that feels right, use it. But if you feel more drawn to the rounded out number, go for that. And I'll just share that online, when I'm selling something online, I do tend to use a 7 or 9 a lot. But for a lot of my private programs or, you know, other things, if it doesn't, I oftentimes don't. It'll just be the, you know, whatever it is, the rounded number. So I'd say, you know, you're really intuitive. Trust your intuition.
Great. Yeah, that answers it for me. So I know what I'm going to do. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, I know. I always once a year, and so from somewhere or other, I always get that question. It's one of those funny things. All right. Well, one other thing I wanted to mention before we dive into continuing with exercise development today. A number of you have already been in touch with me and have been asking, what's next after Curriculum Lab? The time has gone by and you want to do more work and you want to know how we can continue to work together. And it always makes me so happy to hear these requests. And of course, I would love to continue to work together as well. And so I just want to take about 5 or so minutes right now to share with you on how you can do that, if that's something that you've been wanting. So first of all, for those of you that are continuing on with me to Into the Depths, the Ritual and Facilitation Mastery Training, that program is sold out. Well, actually, we could take one more person in that program. So if you've been wanting to step in, you shoot me an email if you're wanting to go deeper with ritual and facilitation. But in any event, for those of you who are continuing with me into the depths, I'm just so thrilled. It's going to be an incredible journey that we have together. It's going to be so powerful. For those of you who aren't continuing onto the facilitation training, onto Into the Depths, then here's the opportunity that I'm really excited to share with you. As we've been working our way through curriculum development over the last few weeks, you've probably begun to notice that a vital component to being able to create amazing curriculum is to have top-notch coaching skills. Knowing how to masterfully connect clients to their why, their WHY, knowing how to help clients assess where they're starting on their journey, knowing how to skillfully work with fear and resistance, knowing how to create questioning sequences that really yield breakthroughs. These are all key components in coaching. And all of my coaching skills make me worlds better at creating curriculum, at facilitating, and, of course, at yielding amazing results with my groups and my one-on-one clients. My coaching skills do even more than that, though. My coaching skills keep my clients coming back and coming back and coming back. My clients keep on re-signing with me because they're satisfied with the work that we do together. They're so satisfied. I always have a constant stream of referrals that come in. And again, this is because of the high-quality service that I provide and the transformation and growth that my clients experience. They tell their friends about it, and their friends tell their friends, and my reputation precedes me. I don't want to say that marketing is a cakewalk for me. It's definitely not. I definitely work at it. But I do way less marketing then a lot of folks who earn as much as I do and whose businesses are as big as mine, because I'm not constantly needing all new rosters of clients. Plus, my marketing is stronger and more authentic because my coaching skills ensure that I can stand behind my promises that I make. And the same is true for my clients. The facilitation skills and the coaching skills that I teach them give them high client re-sign rates, higher referral rates, much easier pathways to earning more, and possibly most important, more confidence and more satisfaction. And it's because of all of this that I'm over the moon excited to tell you about the Sacred Depths Coach Certification. Some of you already know about this. You've been in it. Sacred Depths is a 10-month comprehensive, no stones left unturned coach training that delivers mastery of coaching skills, mastery of human behavior, and a sacred and deep journey of personal mastery and inner work to prepare you to be a cream of the crop coach that your clients adore, remember forever, and want more of over and over again. This training is like nothing else out there. It's completely unique. I can't fully walk you step by step through everything that you'd receive and learn and master in Sacred Depths, because there's literally so much goodness in it, and there's so much. We go through so much that I'd be here for the next few hours just talking about it. But let me just give you some brief highlights so you know a little bit more. We start Sacred Depths with the energetics of the coaching relationship and how to create a strong coaching container so that you're stepping into your coaching sessions fully cleaned, fully aligned, and without your own obstacles in the way. From there, we shift into high gear and go deep into coaching skills and human behavior mastery. We cover all of the basic and accelerated topics that you need in order to navigate any kind of client situation or client block that might come up. We journey through deep listening skills, creating awareness and reflecting the truth skills, creating visions that stick, the energetics of new things, how to actually get clients started on their goals, how to become a strategizing master so that clients execute and take action. We go through a month of deep dive questioning skills for rapid client breakthroughs. I teach you step by step my Befriend Your Fear process so that you can lead any client through their strongest fears. We do a full module of rewiring negative thought patterns so that you can put an end to your client's negative beliefs and the ones that hold them back. We go deep into looking at the cycle of sabotage and how to guide your clients away from the myth of perfection. You learn exactly how to help clients move in rhythm with time so that they can be more at peace and more motivated. We cover how to create coaching structures that activate accountability to strategies and to action steps, how to help clients let go of the things they're gripping onto, how to activate self-love, how to use ritual and journaling as coaching tools, how to work with your clients' shadows and archetypes, shadows like the victim, the lazy one, the critic, and so many more. We learn how to not get projected onto as mommy or daddy from your clients, how to work with the inner child, and we also look at every logistic or template you would need to start working with clients, like contracts, welcome questionnaires, pre-session check-ins, etc. I also include special topics with guest teachers, topics like the difference between the scope of therapy and the scope of coaching so that you never get yourself into a situation where you're in over your head. On topics like making your coaching practice inclusive so that you don't fall into old paradigms of privilege and bias without even realizing it. There's no other coaching program out there that's this comprehensive or this accelerated. It's not coaching light. It's super advanced coaching for practitioners who are committed to going deep. So you might be wondering who the program is for. Well, let me tell you who it's not for. It's not for you if you're looking for coaching light or to just skim the surface. It's not for you if you're not willing to look deeply inside of yourself at your own behaviors, responses, and patterns and become a better coach from it. it's not from you if you're not interested in your client's patterning and their responses and their reactions. Here's who the program is for. It's for experienced practitioners who are already amazing at what they do, but like me and some of the seven-figure business owners who participated this last round and the round before, they recognize the absolute vital importance of continuing on the journey of mastery, of getting better and better and better at what you do. It's for seasoned practitioners who are really ready to create bigger breakthroughs and do an even better job at navigating through client resistance and fear. The program is also for newer coaches who are looking at the industry and feeling like it's a lot of surface and fluff out there. It's for new coaches who know that they're ready for an accelerated learning environment where you go deep, where you get every single tool you need to be an incredible coach. And it's also for practitioners who aren't necessarily coaches, like massage therapists, nutritionists, acupuncturists, yoga teachers. Practitioners who recognize the vital importance of being able to combine your modality with a deep knowledge of how to walk your clients through fear and resistance, how to help hold them accountable, and how to help them create deeper and deeper self-awareness. And let me also just say this. Sacred Depths isn't just a coach training and certification. It's a highly personal and profound inner journey. Graduates of the training tell me time and time again that not only do they emerge from the training feeling totally confident about the new coaching techniques and skills they have and about the ways their clients are satisfied, so satisfied with the work that they're doing, but they also tell me about how much more they know and understand themselves, their own fears, their own shadows, their own patterns, their own desires, how much more actualized they've become. And of course, all of that self-knowledge and self-actualization is a major contributor to being a masterful coach and facilitator. Now, if all of this sounds incredible to you, but you're also wondering about how to also market your business, I've got that covered for you in a couple of bonuses to Sacred Depths. I include a business building training course when you register for Sacred Depths. It includes training modules on how to develop your branding, your messaging, your marketing, and your systems. It takes you step by step on how to outreach to potential prospects, how to build your community. It includes a comprehensive 5-hour training on how to lead effective sales conversations with authenticity and integrity, so much more. So for those of you who are listening to this and who are ready for coaching mastery, I want to make it super easy for you to say yes to the training. There are two levels to the training. Level one is online only, and it includes interactive training calls on the entire system that I just laid out for you, plus a number of coaching practicums where you get to receive direct feedback from me on your coaching skills. You also receive a coaching buddy if you want one, a highly interactive Facebook group, and that entire marketing training that I mentioned. That's level one. If you're open to traveling and being in person with me, then you definitely want to consider level two. Level two includes everything in level one, plus an additional 3-day retreat with me on pretty much some of the juiciest personal and professional work that you can do, the shadow training. The full training also includes monthly coaching clinics, which are intimate supervision groups where you bring your client case studies to me so that we can help you find solutions with specific client cases. The program begins in October, and there's a special early bird rate on the program that lasts through September. So the early bird rate lasts for a while, but because you've participated in Curriculum Lab, I'm honored to make Sacred Depths available to you for an additional $500 off the early bird rate. That special pricing is available for you until August 9th only. And if you register by then, you'll also receive an extra gift from me. I will do a detailed review of your curriculum with notes and feedback. And you don't have to finish the curriculum by this week or next for us to be able to do that. You have time. So if you want to learn more about the program, go to joannalindenbaum.com/sacred-depths. joannalindenbaum.com /sacred-depth. You'll see the regular early bird rate there. If you want the extra $500 off before August 9th, the code is SACRED, S-A-C-R-E-D. And that's good until next Friday. All right. So with all of that being said, let's go deeper into exercise and curriculum development. So as I said earlier, what I want to do today is to beef up everything we've been looking at and integrate everything that we've been looking at. And the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to share a curriculum of mine, and we're going to go through it piece by piece by piece and break it down. And you'll be able to ask questions, and you'll be able to see, I'm going to break down exactly how I develop the methodology. You'll see the step-by-step methodology, and then you'll also, we're going to go deep into the exercise creation. As we do this, you'll be able to see how purposeful I am when I craft and set things up in my curriculum. This is part of what creates such depth and transformation. And again, so many of you are intuitive and spontaneous, and you can be purposeful and plan and also have room for spontaneity and intuition and to see what's going to want to happen in the room. That is absolutely how I walk through things as well. I'm going to include a couple of little facilitation tips as well, but I'm not going to go into like how I facilitate all of it. We're going to be looking, you know, mostly at the curriculum. So what I'm going to walk you through today is one full day out of a 3-day retreat that I sometimes lead. Now, the full 3-day retreat, the topic of the full 3 days is becoming visible with your full voice and your full body. That's the topic of the entire 3 days, becoming visible with your full voice and your full body. And it's specifically for entrepreneurs. So it's entrepreneurs who are usually with me for a year in a group program where we're working on building business and marketing and inner pieces and all of that. And the first day, what we're going to be looking at is the first day of the retreat. And the topic of the first day, which is kind of like step one of my methodology, is owning your full voice. Right? So the topic of the entire retreat, again, is becoming visible with your full voice and your full body. And where these people are starting is that they're doing great things in their business and their marketing, and they are being visible. But at that point, I know that they're ready to really go deeper in totally unleashing their voice, so that they can really stand up fully in all of their marketing and in all of their coaching sessions and in all of their classes and in everything that they're doing, and really speak so strongly and powerfully. And also at that point, they're not fully embodying their messaging and their power. So that's where they're all starting, and where I want to get them to by the end of the 3 days is to really be visible with their voice and their body. And so the first methodology step is owning your full voice. And that's 1 day's worth of curriculum. Now, let me just take a step back here, because, you know, we speak a lot about how I'm teaching this to you to do this in a linear way, right? What's step one? What's step two? You know, where do you start? Where do you end? Where's step one? Where's step two? You know, all of that. But how also it's a cyclical process, right? It's linear and cyclical. And I want to just share a little anecdote with you on that, because I think this will help a lot of you. When I first developed the retreat, it didn't start with, They're all of the people are here. They're not fully owning their voices, and they're not fully embodying their messages, and I want to get them to the other end. That's actually not, that wasn't the first thought that I had about the retreat. The first thought I had about the retreat was in the shower, because that's where all of my great thoughts happen. I was in the shower, and I was thinking about this particular group of clients, this circle of women, and, you know, as I do, I think about my clients all the time and, you know, what they need, and I was thinking about the upcoming retreat, and I just got this flash in my head of this exercise called Spirit Song, which I had learned. I'll share more with you in a little bit about Spirit Song, but I got a flash in my head of these women doing the Spirit Song exercise, and I was like, oh, I don't know what's happening at the retreat yet, but that is going to happen at the retreat. And the way my process for curriculum development worked for this particular retreat, as it does for, you know, not always, but sometimes I said, okay, so Spirit Song exercise came up. You know, what is that about? And I said, it's about them owning their voice and being in their body when they own their voice. So what is that about? Where are they starting and where are they ending, right? And then I went into the linear and I tried to see, okay, where can I fit Spirit Song into this? So it's linear, and our processes are linear and cyclical. So I'm going to take you through what we do. Now, my retreats, usually the days are 9 to 5. Since this is the first day of the retreat, I did spend about 9 to 10, 15, just bringing, it wasn't the first retreat or the beginning of the program, so we had already done steps 1, 2, and 3, but I took them through, you know, the mini steps 1, 2, and 3 before you get to your methodology. We set the container. I got them inspired about the topic. I always like to start with something dramatic. You know, you kind of get in circle, and for this particular retreat, I actually sang a song, especially since we were talking about voice and body, right? It was a little bit, they didn't know, but they were going to be going there too. I spoke about the topic. We did some assessing of where they were, and we did some other ritual pieces too. And then after that first 60, 75 minutes of going through steps 1 through 3, we took a break. So facilitators note, when you're in person and facilitating, you want to take a break about every 90 minutes. People are going to have to go to the bathroom. They need to pay more attention. Now, for those of you that work with experiential and ritual and ceremony, as you know, like sometimes time expands, and it can't exactly be at 90 minutes. It might be at 2 hours or a little bit longer, but you know, rule of thumb, you wanna try and break around every 90 minutes. So we had the break, and then we really started the step for the day, which was owning your full voice. Now, I broke this step of owning your full voice into, let me just see how many steps it was, into 7 steps total. So we went through 7 steps through the day. That was my thought leadership. That was my methodology. And I want to take you through each of the pieces so that I could get people by the end of the day to owning their voice. So step 1 was just an introduction to your voice. That's kind of what I called it for myself. Step 1 was an introduction to your voice. And I'm going to share with you a little, you know, how I introduced them to their voices. And you'll see as I share with you this first part, the introduction to your voice, it's mostly presentation, teaching, you know, really working on that intellectual or mental level of learning and processing with inspiration and heart connection to the topic of the voice. So the way I started to help them get an introduction to their voice and to the voice, what the voice means, is I started with a personal story. I shared a very personal story that activated the start point and the end point of the heroes in the room. My personal story mirrored where a lot of them were with their voice. And as I shared with them my story, the journey, it also activated where they could end up with their voices. I told a story that actually had nothing to do with business. It was a story of a babysitter that I hired when my younger daughter, Yael, was born, and it was an awful, awful situation. Anyway, I won't go into the details, but I told a very, very personal story and kind of my triumph through it, you know, what happened through it. So already, just by telling this personal story about my voice and how I found my voice in this very, very hard situation, it started to inspire the people in the room. They started to get invested in this topic of looking at their voice and what might be possible. From there, and this is still part of step one, introduction to the voice, I defined what voice means in your business and in your work. Right, so back to what we were talking about last week, voice can mean so many different things. It's one of those open-ended topics, right? So I wanted to define for them how we were using it. From there, and this was still part of that introduction to the voice, I spoke about why claiming your voice is so important for your business and your clients and your client work and your life. Again, all of this geared towards giving them an intellectual framework towards inspiration and heart connection and investment into the topic. And then from there, I shared a little bit about what happens in your business and in your client work and in your life when you don't claim your voice. And I spoke about reasons why we don't claim our voices, or I spoke about fear of judgment and fear of failure and fear of offending others or making them angry, or, you know, maybe when we were younger, we were told to be quiet, or we were told it was dangerous, or, you know, whatever it was, right? I started, you know, we were going to go much deeper into all of it, but I just started in this first the step one introduction to get them acquainted and to really pique their interest and their investment. Now, if you're noticing, everything that I did in introduction to your voice, it was presentation and teaching. We didn't do any exercises yet. This was really presentation, and I just bring that up. This is a little bit of a facilitation point, but I want to insert it here for you to be thinking about. This is true in person or online. When you're facilitating groups, you want to be thinking about, I call them the different modes of facilitating. There are different modes that you facilitate in, and we don't always want to stay just in one mode. So there's the mode that we know best when we're teaching is the presentation mode, right? That's the mode that I'm in right now. I'm presenting to you, you know, all of that. But here, you know, some other modes. So group share mode. Group share is when after you teach or do an exercise, you open up and different people in the group share within the group itself. There's also a partner share mode you want to be thinking about. You can do this in person, and you can also do this on some platforms online where you divide people into groups of two or groups of three or groups of four, whatever it is, and they have a more intimate share. There's another mode, which I like to call one-on-one, but in the group. And that's when you're doing a group share with everybody in the group, but someone needs something that's just like beyond their share. They need to go deeper. You see they're ripe in that moment for a breakthrough, or they're struggling with something, and you go to coach them one-on-one or work with them one-on-one within the larger group. And of course, when you do this effectively, when you have really good coaching skills and you can do this effectively, everybody in the room is moved by it. There's another mode, which I call group experiential mode. That's if you're doing any kind of exercises that everybody's doing together in a group, any kind of ritual or ceremony or process that everybody is doing together in a group. There's experiential partner, where you're doing experiential work, but you've divided people into groups of two or three or four to do the experiential work or the ritual work. And then there's something that I call experiential solo. And that's when you are, maybe you've asked a journaling question, right? And people are journaling. They're on their own. They're solo. Or you're doing a visualization. Everybody's in the group together, but they're solo doing, you know, they're doing something solo. So you want to just be thinking about, you know, if you're putting together a group curriculum, you think about these different modes. All right, so let me get back to fully owning your voice. So after introduction to your voice, then we moved into the next step on the journey. And step two was about getting clear on your own voice wounds, getting clear on the wounding to your voice. So for me, that was where we really need, if they were going to, by the end of the day, own their voice, they needed to get clear on where their voice was wounded. I had already just inserted the idea in, you know, in presentation mode in step one when I spoke about some of the reasons people don't claim their voice, right? So I'd already seeded it a little bit, and then we moved more fully into it. So as I was moving into supporting them to get clear on their own voice wounds, I knew that I had to address resistance before some of them were going to go there. So we've looked at this, right, a lot in Curriculum Lab, and I can't emphasize it enough. An ounce of pre-framing is worth a pound of reframing. So if you know that people are going to have resistance to something, you want to pre-frame it before you give them the work, before you give them the exercise. Now, in this particular case, because I know my people, I knew the resistance was going to be different than probably what you think it was. I knew some of the people in the room may have resistance to looking at their wounds because the people that come to me have already done so much personal work. Like, they're so evolved. They're so into it. And I didn't want them to tune out because they felt like they already did the work, right? So at that point, I said to them, especially if you've been working with me for a while, because, you know, we do so much inner work together, or especially if you've already done inner work and you've healed some of your voice wounds, we're going to go deeper today. And I want you to take this seriously, especially if you've done the work before. And I went on to just address the resistance a little bit more, to speak about how wounds to the voice go really deep, and that, you know, even if you've done the work before, you can always go deeper, and it will always help you create more visibility in your business, right? So I addressed that resistance. Once I did that, and we're still here in this step two of getting clear on their wounds, I asked them, where is your voice currently stifled, or where are you stifling your voice right now in your business? Or how do you censor yourself in your business right now? And I took them through different areas of your business. So we started with marketing, right? Where in your marketing are you stifling your voice or censoring yourself? They journaled on that. Where with your clients, when you're in your client sessions or when you're teaching, are you stifling your voice or censoring yourself? Where with your team are you doing this? I also included in there, where with your family and friends, right? So this was a starting point for them to be able to start to see where their wounds are. And it's a little bit of an assessment too, if you will, right? Remember, we looked at assessments and why they're important. It helped them begin to see the result of the voice wound. Maybe not the wound itself yet, but the impact the wound is creating. But just to be able to drive it home even more, after they looked at that, we had a group discussion about it. I wanted them to really be able to see the bigger picture. And so I asked, what are the results of being stifled in these areas? So what's happening because of this? So then they could really see, oh my gosh, I need to work on this because I can see how this is impacting me. And then we kept on going, and we're still in this step two of getting clear on your own voice wounds. And I asked them to pick the top, when they were going through the different ways that they stifle their voice and censor themselves, I asked them to read through it, and I asked them to pick the top one. So the one that they felt was really like the one that was impacting them the most. I asked them to circle that top one so that we could go deeper with it. So now here's a curriculum principle that I want to pause on. The principle of learning by prioritizing, or being able to hone in on a particular topic by prioritizing. So I asked them where they were stifling their voice in all these different areas, the clients, the marketing, the offerings, and to give different examples of each so that they could begin to see all the ways they're stifling their voice, right? But I wanted them to pick one because it would be really hard to go deeper with all of them, right? But if they pick one to work with, we can really hone in. So they each picked one, and then from there, I asked them a series of questions so that they could understand why their voices were stifled and wounded. And the questions that I asked them were very much, for those of you that have been through the Sacred Depths coach training, they very much match the Befriend Your Fear process. So I took them through an entire series, and it was, I'll just say, like, different things like, what are you scared might happen if your voice would open up and flow in this area? Where does the fear originate from? What events or series of events brought the fear into being, right? We looked a little bit at this last week in the intellectual pathway of, looking at the fear, the negative beliefs, right? Who modeled this for you? What's the belief behind the fear? How has it served you? Ask lots of different questions like that. And they journaled on it. They got into group shares on it. We did a full group share. Now, let me pause here for a moment. These were all intellectual-based questions, right? In other words, they were writing, right? Which we spoke about last week. Writing is on that intellectual or mental level of learning and processing. But I want to make sure I say this to you because this is really important. The mental level of learning and processing doesn't mean that there isn't emotion that comes up through the mental awareness that's created. So I don't want you to think that that level of learning and processing is detached from emotion. It certainly is not. A lot of emotion can come up through that level of learning and transformation. So that was step two, so that they could really see what the wounds were, the fears, the beliefs. Now, I didn't do this next piece, but if I had had more time, I certainly could have. I could have, into this step two of getting clear on your own voice wounds, I could have added in at that point a visualization where they would dialogue with the belief itself. That's the core of the befriend your fear process. I won't get too much into it, but you know, I could have added a visualization where they actually dialogue. And I'm pointing this out because a principle that I want you to think of, this is a coaching principle, but this is also a facilitation principle, is I call it leaning in. And what that means is that when we're working with our clients one-on-one or groups and they have a fear, they have an obstacle, they have a limiting belief, whatever it is, you know, in our everyday lives, our MO is to run away from the fear, to run away from the obstacle. And run away can mean ignoring it, but it can also mean judging it and hating on it, right? As coaches and curriculum builders and facilitators, if we want to help create transformation, and this is something I want, write this down and circle this, star it. If we want to create transformation, we have to create the environment and the instructions to help our clients lean in to the icky places that they've been running away from or judging. That's what helps create the transformation. And that's why something like a dialogue with a fear or a dialogue with a limiting belief can be so powerful. All right, I'm sure there are some questions that are being generated. I can't even see if anyone has raised their hands because I'm pacing in my kitchen right now as I'm teaching. But let me keep on going a little bit longer, and then I'll open up for questions. So then we moved into the next step of the methodology, of this journey of owning their full voice. And the next step was for them to be able to see and feel their voice. See and feel their voice. Now, as a side note, I wasn't necessarily, as I was leading all of this, telling them, okay, step one is this, and step two is this, and step three is this. I was just leading them through. I'm telling it to you so that you understand where my mind was. Like, I knew this is, you know, I had labeled each of these steps for myself so that I could create that step-by-step journey, but I didn't always at every step say, okay, and now we are going to, right? But it's important for me as the facilitator and the coach to know it. So this next step is see and feel your voice. And what we did, the exercise that I created so that they could see and feel their voices, right, which is such an important part to own your voice, you've got to see and feel it, is we, what did we do? Let me see here. We did a multi-step process for them to really lean in more deeply to see and feel their voices. And of course, take everything with the wounding too, right? So they could see and feel all of it, not just the shiny parts of it. If we're going to become better friends with anything, we need to see and feel all of it. And so what I did was, first I just started, I did give them a little bit of context. I spoke a little bit. I was in presentation mode on the importance of seeing and feeling their voice. So I take it back. In this case, I did tell them because I wanted them to invest in the idea of getting more acquainted with their voices. from there, I led them through a meditation, a visualization, which activated the heart level, the spirit level, the body level, to just begin to visualize their voice. Like, if their voice looked like something, what would it look like? You know, a diagram, you know, whatever it was. And so we went through a visualization, and I asked questions like, you know, what is your voice's pathway through your body? Where are the open places? Where are the stuck places? What are the colors? What are the shapes of your voice? What are the places, as you look at your voice, that you love? What are the places that you hate, right? And we went deeper, too. I'm kind of giving you the quickie on that there. So they visualized it, but we didn't stop there. I really wanted them to, like, lean in fully here. And so after the visualization, every woman had an opportunity to draw her voice. We had crayons and big pieces of paper, and they had time to draw their voice and almost like diagram it out. You know, once they drew it, some were abstract, some were representational. Then they if they wanted to, they could diagram it and say, this part, you know, is this part of my voice, and I like this part, and I don't like this, and this part means this, you know, whatever it is. So the purpose of all of that, again, was to be able to really connect more deeply. If they're going to own their voice, they have to be able to connect more deeply with it. After that, the next step in the exercise was I had them journal, just do open journaling on the full experience of that visualization and the drawing. And that was so that they could, you know, the visualization and the drawing were so much about the heart level and the body level and the spirit level. The journaling brought them back to the mental level of learning and processing so that they could integrate everything that had just happened. And then we had a partner share. They got into partners and they shared. And then we had a group, a share, you know, everybody in the group. And as part of that group share, of course, I ended up coaching people one-on-one. And inevitably, you know, when we go deep in these ways, shadow pieces came up, archetype pieces came up, somatic, you know. And so I used all of my coaching skills to help move those people through to the other side, into the other side, into the other side. So hopefully you can see here with step three, you know, I started with the talking, giving context, seeing and feeling your voice, and then we moved to that visualization of the voice, and then the drawing of the voice, and then the journaling about it, the share. You can see how this one step is actually layered with all four levels of learning and transformation, and just some of those different modes of teaching that I was sharing with you before. So as I said earlier, a good curriculum is always about knowing when people need to break. At that point, we had a big lunch break. I recommend if you're in an in-person retreat to give at least 60 minutes for lunch whenever you can, if not a little longer. People need the break. They need the integration time. They need the rest time. They need the space time. I have some clients. I don't do this very often, and it's mostly because I usually lead retreats in Charlotte and I like to get home to my kids, but I have clients that will do like 9 to 1, obviously with breaks in between, and then have a nice, like a very long break from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5 and then resume in the evening. That's another way to do it. All right, let me take you through a couple more steps that I took them through that day. Actually, let me pause here and see if there are any questions, and let me know if this is helpful for you and sparking ideas for you. So I'd love to hear what you're taking away so far, what you're seeing, what this is sparking for you, and if you have any questions, star 2. Let me know that you're with me. Or at least tell me if it's helpful. Let's see. Oh, no, I just lost the control panel on my computer. All right, here we go. Priscilla.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you.
Hi.
My question pertains to the application of these exercises, which I think are wonderful, on a virtual training container, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess my concern, even as I put together the different constructs of each module, both the teaching and the exercise and the resistance, do you have any insight? I guess my concern is that people will check out, or if they're listening to a recording, when there's limited personal interaction, as they're going through a training, that, the resistance can get the better of them, or how to just still keep them in the game as things come up.
Yeah, it's such a great question, and it is different in person than online. I'm going to model, online on September 10th when we have our call, so you can see a little bit more. Some of what you're asking is about facilitation, less about the curriculum and more about the facilitation and the container setting. Of course, we've looked a bit at container setting even through the curriculum, how you do it. But a big piece of it is, so there are a couple things here. Number one is you want to decide what is okay for people to listen to on their own and what is not okay for people to listen to on their own. I'm never going to do deep shadow exercises where people are going to listen to the recording. It's like that's a choice that I've made for myself because they need to be in the container with me. Most of the time they need to be in person with me. So first you just want to make make a decision of like, can this exercise be done? Do I feel like this can be effective and do I feel like this is safe if they're not in the container and they're doing it? And then whatever you feel, you can include, you want to do a lot of pre-framing, number one, right? So let people know you're going to want to check out, talk to them about it. You may want to, your stuff is going to be a recording. It's a little bit, with a recording, again, it's such a looser container. So you can't do some of these things, but for example, if it's online, like on a call, you can have everybody check in the beginning. You can literally, and if there's a lot of people and there isn't time for everybody to check in, you can divide people into groups of two or three, and they each get into their own chat room. You ask them a question, and, so the check-ins, the shares, your voice is being heard, those are ways to keep people connected in as well. Does that answer some of your questions?
It does. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Priscilla, I just want to say so far what I've seen in your curriculum, and I know you'll share more, but from what I've seen so far, I don't think you're going to have a big problem with what you're asking. Like, I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to work.
Thank you. I really appreciate that feedback.
Yeah. Carolyn. I think this is Carolyn.
It's me.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's been extremely helpful, and I know I posted my stuff on there, but it's causing me to slow down a little bit even more and just really get into the different layers and really be intentional. So I'm really getting that message.
Awesome.
From what you're doing,
you're
so thank you.
That. And, of course,
yeah.
It's I had a full day, it was a 3-day retreat, and I had a full day
mm-hmm.
just for this one topic. It also just depends on the vehicle, right, the format
right.
of what you're doing. So it doesn't have to be this slowed down and layered either. I wanted to give you guys the full shebang so that you could kind of see and, pick and choose how much you wanted. But good, I'm glad you're seeing
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, no, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I have a question about,
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I feel like there's static on your line.
Oh, is it better now?
No, I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. Maybe is it
there you go. Oh no, it came back.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll quickly ask my question. How do you deal with emotion that comes up when you do the exercises during the retreat? like if someone wants to, you know, cry or something, as it's bringing up a lot of emotion?
Yeah, that's coaching. Those are coaching skills. That's what Sacred Depths, the Sacred Depths training I was mentioning earlier on the call, that's, I can't answer it in 2 minutes or 5 minutes. There's a lot of different techniques and a lot of different pieces depending on what's happening and where they're coming from, and do you need to lean into the fear? Do you need to look at shadow? Do you, you know, it just, there's so many different pieces. So I'm sorry, I can't answer that one.
Yeah, that's fine. But is there time during the retreat for that?
That's what I was saying earlier. I'm skipping through, as I'm sharing it with all of you today, I'm skipping through, like, what is happening when we're doing the group shares and the one-on-one shares and the partner shares, but there's a lot of process time that I weave in so that we can go deeper and deeper and people can get coached on what they need to get coached on.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Sorry, with my niece, you might hear her in the background. I have a question in terms of this, doing this online for a group, and if it is recorded with worksheets, like if you recommend having it be that people write things down as you're talking about them, or like here's the next question, or here's the next question, or if you recommend like having a worksheets that you guide them through. I've kind of done a little bit of both. Yeah,
it's a personal thing. I don't want to say one is better than the other. I tend to use less worksheets, and I don't ever use slides or anything like that. And, you know, I've asked myself for years, like, why am I just being lazy? Like, what's going on? And I do, you know, I have worksheets. But for me, the reason why I don't like to use worksheets very often, especially when it's like what you're talking about, like asking questions, I may give it in a worksheet afterwards, but I find that when I give it in a worksheet first, people are distracted by the worksheet and they're looking ahead to the questions and they've already decided that they know, or, you know, whatever it is, instead of staying present to what's happening on the actual call or in the actual room. And so because of that, sometimes I will give the worksheet after, but I don't really like to give the worksheet before. I know some people are visual learners and it helps for them to have it. And so that's why I'm saying it's not that one is not better than the other. I think it's just personal for the facilitator. For me in general, I find people to be distracted by that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think I might have some questions in the call and then have like a worksheet after that might not be the same.
Yeah, that's another way for sure. Like questions to go deeper after the questions on the call.
Yeah, because I'm finding, because it's a group, sometimes people want to do the worksheet and like see that they did something afterward, like to really integrate the content of the call. And I like the idea of that, but I also wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. These are all really good questions. All right, let's continue. I'll take you guys through a couple more steps that will hopefully activate more ideas for exercises and also just help you see the methodology journey and all of that. So after lunch, so remember before lunch, we had the introduction to the voice. We had the looking at the voice wounds. And then we had seeing and feeling your voice, all in service of the ultimate goal, which is to own your voice more fully. When we got back from lunch, the next step in the journey was about releasing what no longer is serving you when it comes to your voice. Because I knew that for my heroine, part of the journey to be able to own the voice was also to let go of just what whatever wounding they didn't need to grip on to anymore. Now, of course, and I always say this about release, sometimes release can happen in an instant, but most of the time, and especially when we do it in ceremony and ritual, or exercises, or, you know, courses, whatever, it's like we're initiating the process of releasing, but it's something that people are going to want to come back to over and over and over again. And, you know, this speaks so much to a principle that I talk about when it comes to coaching that is so important. I may have already mentioned it. I probably have mentioned it here in Curriculum Lab, but I want to mention it again because I want you guys to think about this as you put your curriculums together. There's a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. And in this industry, people see them as one and the same a lot, but they're not. When it comes to human transformation, there's a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. The breakthrough is like the new awareness or the new pathway that's created or the new body memory. And, you know, when you release something, it's a little bit of all of those, right? New body memory of releasing something that you're ready to release, new pathway, you know, all of that. That's great. The new awareness, the new pathway, all of that is wonderful. But if you want to see through to the long-lasting transformation, you need to take the breakthrough and apply it persistently and consistently until there is a long-lasting transformation. So I rarely ever think of things as once and done. Sometimes, right? Like, sometimes breakthroughs can happen in an instant, but the, like, long, sticking, lasting transformation, there needs to be some persistence and consistency there. So anyway, back to, so, you know, the next piece was releasing, and we did this really beautiful ceremony that almost defies words for this step. I'll just call it, it's a shaking ritual. So I divided the group into groups of three, and each person had a turn, and when it was their turn, they shared what it was that they wanted to release. And of course, we did some intellectual work for everybody to kind of, on that mental level of learning and processing, know what they wanted to release. And then when it was their turn, they would, you know, share it with their partners. They would share about how they wanted released, and their partners would help them shake vigorous. Most of the time, it was this vigorous shaking out of their bodies, right? And then we did more. That was more on the facilitation end to really seal in the exercise and to integrate and go really deep with that exercise and have it be a full body experience. I won't get into all of the details, but that was what we did for the release. It was very little on the intellectual level of learning and processing, and a lot on that body level and that heart level. Now, from there, after all of that, they had been through a lot of inner work so far that day. The next step that felt important for me, you know, to give them on this journey was to get clear on how they wanted to bring their voice into their business. So this, at this point in the day, we had done all this inner work, and now we started marrying it with outer work around their business with some more concrete result-oriented pieces. And this is a little bit of a curriculum point, a little bit of a coaching point, or at least this is my philosophy, is that inner work is always most effective when it's paired with outer work, and outer work is always most effective when it's paired with inner work. And so with anything that I do, I like to pair both. Sometimes where curriculum developers make a mistake is the result that they're trying to get to is really outer, that end destination, and they put in a lot of beautiful inner work pieces, but they never really ground it back into the concrete outer. So in this step in the journey, you know, I wanted them to get clear to start thinking about how they wanted to bring their voice back into their business. And so we did journaling and we had a discussion on what are the things that they really wanted to be talking about in their work that they hadn't been. We looked at their marketing, we looked at their messaging, we looked at their offerings, we looked at their team, we looked at their JV partners, we also looked at their family and friends, but they got really clear on what were the things that needed to be spoken. What are the things that their voice wanted to express, whether it was about topics or messaging or boundaries that wanted to be set, you know, whatever it was. And then from there, we moved on to the next step in the methodology, which was about practicing owning their voice in a very practical way. So what we did in this part of the journey was everybody divided into groups of two or three, and each person chose one truth back from the exercise before on, you know, what did they want to be talking about or boundaries or whatever. Each person spoke one truth. They chose one truth that they had been lying about. And I don't mean lying in the sense of, you know, purposefully lying, but ways, you know, something that had been stifled in their voice, a truth that up until then had been stifled in their voice, but they'd been through all of the inner work of the morning, and they were ready to own that truth. And each person had an opportunity to practice literally, you know, standing up in their group and taking some minutes to really speak fully and in detail what the truth was and to feel it in their bodies. And then to get reflections back from their partners and to process it out. This was really powerful and like a very powerfully practical culmination of so much that we had all, you know, done throughout the day and engaged the mental level of learning and transformation, the body level of learning and transformation, because they were actually speaking it, right? The heart level. It engaged the coaching tool of strategizing, right? Because it was a way for them to practice what they were going to actually say in real life, whether it was in their message or to their team member or to their client or to their partner, you know, whatever it is. So they got to strategize too and problem solve when they got reflections, and then they got to set some intentions on when they were going to actually go out and do it in real life after the retreat. We took a break after that, and I wanted to end the day on something really inspirational and in that, like, full ownership. And so that's where that spirit song exercise that I had, you know, just had the flash of in the shower, that's where that came in. So the last step of the day and the last step of the, you know, owning your voice was about unlocking your voice in your body. And I led them through that spirit song exercise, which, I don't know, the best way I can describe it just right now without leading everybody through it is a type of guttural singing that really fully opens up all the channels of the voice in the body. something that I learned from a woman named Shauna Carroll, and she's just amazing. And so, you know, I explained to them, right, I had to get them invested because they were going to have to be singing, and we spoke about resistance, and I explained what the purpose was and why it would be important. And every person had a turn doing this really powerful exercise in the middle of the circle. And then, you know, they got feedback from the group, and we had processing and sharing. And then the very last thing of the day, I wanted to seal in everything we had done the entire day. It wasn't the final seal-in for the full retreat, because we still had 2 more days of the retreat to go. If you can believe it, there's still more to that retreat. But I wanted to have a seal-in at the end of the day, and so we did a ritual, and we set intentions based on everything that had come through that day. All right, so let's pause here. Let me take a moment before we go any further and just see again, are there any questions that you have? Or what are you seeing in what I've shared with you today that is sparking something for you? Who is this? 06657.
It's Anne from Delaware. Hi. So it's interesting. At the beginning of the course, you invited me to consider that I might be wrong, that the topic that I had picked was not going to be the right one, but that I was going to learn a lot by going through the process. Well, that was rather prophetic. So I've already started, you know, revamping and redrawing. But what I'm seeing is you're describing this this retreat format is that yet again I need to slow everything down even more than I had before. Like it's like needing to switch from, you know, a regular camera lens to a macro lens to really specifically zoom in on the details, and that's helpful. And it's starting to integrate with some earlier things that you shared about, you know, it's not delivering a certain amount of information.
Yeah.
It's about making sure they can integrate what you're delivering.
Yeah.
That you're not giving them too much, that you're not, you know, turning them into human foie gras. You know?
exactly. No, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up because it's really important. Let's just take a look at this for a second. I described so much work that we did in that first day, but it wasn't a lot of content that I was delivering.
It's really not.
To that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and so as I've been working on creating content, you know, there's also been so much information flowing out, and it is just too much. So I think what just sort of clicked over as I've been listening to today's call is usually I would take the big view and then chunk it down. And so now as I'm kind of revamping, what I want to experiment with is picking one really small thing and kind of zooming in on it instead of looking at the big picture and trying to break it into manageable chunks, but starting with one of the small things and almost seeing where the tiny piece of information or the tiny inspiration leads and what does that expand into, which is a very different way than I've ever looked at planning something like this.
Yeah, I love that. And you'll find the juice, and then if you want to take some of the detail out, you can also.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you're seeing this. The slow it down is just so important. And again, somebody else asked earlier in the call, and, you know, I said it then, I want to say it now. It also depends on the format, too,
right?
So, you know, with an in-person retreat, there's, like, all that space. And it's going to be a little bit different if you're doing something on, like, Curriculum Lab. I do give more of the content, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also, even with the content, hopefully you guys are noticing, you know, I'm teaching some new things today, but actually what I'm doing today is, like, just going deeper into what we already looked at last week to give more space for it to integrate. So, you know, there are certain courses or certain vehicles that are going to require more content. And then also, mm-hmm. it's like, what do you want to use? You know, then it's, there's also a business model question of what are you using the course for, you know, all of that. So it's not always going to have to be, like, slowed down to the, you know, to the slow.
Sure.
But it is still a really good principle to always remember and put in.
Yeah, I think for where I'm at in my business reboot and curriculum creation and really you know, trying to narrow down what I want my offerings to be right now, looking at it from the kind of larger planning perspective, part of why it was getting overwhelming was that it was way too much content, but also I wasn't allowing myself to go with the flow and let the small bits inspire and say, you know what, maybe rather than trying to make a particular format right now, let me take the next month and just sit and
yeah.
write
see
and just see what comes bit. Out,
yeah.
see what's evolving, because it feels like now there's a freedom to explore that that wasn't there when I started. So I really
right.
appreciate the space to make that adjustment.
I'm so happy to hear it, and a piece of what I hear in that is, like, you're really ready to, like, the thought leadership is all there. You're really ready to receive it more now.
Yes.
I'm so happy to hear it.
Yes.
Good.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Chrissy.
Hi. I'm not sure who just shared, but it was pretty much everything that I was just going to ask. So sweet. Yeah, I really resonate with this idea of slowing it all down and really looking at, like, the inner peace for myself of, like, why I feel like I need to give so much.
Yeah.
And
Wait.
Really
well,
trusting
you...
my clients to get more for themselves through their own experience, not, like, making sure I checked off everything on this list that I thought they should know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that if you know, there are such things as pure, like, content marketers, but they're not coaches. They're not healers. They're not facilitators. They're just content creators. Mm. And that's not who you are, and that's not the business that you're in, and that's not what your clients need. Yes, you have so much content inside of you, and your clients need it, but they need it dripped out in a way where they can really take it in and learn it and master it and integrate it. That's far more
yeah.
useful than just being a content sharer.
Yeah. Yeah, I really see that, and I believe it, which is even better.
Yay.
I think one question I have, though, is, like, this might just come from practice, like, where you just were like, you know, I just had these steps of, like, introducing what it is and defining it, you know, getting clear on where you're at in the journey. I'm trying to, like, track how to know what to share and, like, what
yeah.
you – like, your step one was the definition, and then your step two is, like, your own voice wound. So just seeing, like, assessing,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, going through an exercise to create awareness and then release and then, like, what you want to bring in, right? Like, is that
generally, but that's not going to – you can use that as a formula for sure, but it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be the formula every time. I mean, it will be an effective one, but I don't want you to just, like, blindly use it as a formula, like, see what pieces mix and match and, you know, in and out and that kind of thing, because it's certainly not what you always want to do. But those are some good pieces to be thinking about, depending on your subject matter, for sure.
Yeah, because that's the part I struggle with, and I'm going to take the previous woman's idea of, like, pulling out those gems and then just seeing what fills in around it. Because I think I make a list of, like, okay, they need to know all these things, but understanding what to include that's not just the things, like the more slowed down aspects I still struggle with. But
yeah, I think you're getting closer and closer. Yeah. I do.
All right,
I hear
see what happens. Okay, thanks.
Awesome. You're welcome. All right, we have just a couple more minutes left, and so true to form, because I have told you that I've shared all of my methodology with you throughout these 4 weeks, and true to form, I told you you can't just end with methodology. You want to end with takeaways, and you want to end with sealing in, and so that's what we're going to be moving into right now very quickly for all of Curriculum Lab. So let's move into to takeaways. So I want to ask you some questions, and you can just journal on them. So when you think about where we started and where we are now and all that you've learned through Curriculum Lab, what have been some of your biggest learnings and new understandings when it comes to how to create curriculum? Let's just start with that first. With just creating curriculum, what are some of your new learnings and understandings that are really important for you? Pick the most important ones, or else you'll be writing for a while. Next question. How have things shifted for you in terms of your understanding and your articulation of your thought leadership? How have things shifted for you in terms of your understanding and your articulation of your thought leadership? And for everybody here, if you have been present for our calls and if you've brought yourself present to the homework, you will have had new understandings and new articulations around your thought leadership, I promise you. So take a moment, really think about that. What's shifted for you there? Next question, what have you learned about yourself personally through Curriculum Lab? What are some things that you've learned about yourself and who you are and what you're made of? All learnings are good, right? Because they're new understandings and new awarenesses that we can do something with. What are some of the things that feel important that you've learned about yourself personally through this process? Next question, what's something
that you're excited about that maybe you weren't so excited about before? What's one thing that you feel excited about? Next question, what would you like to accomplish next with your curriculum? So in other words, I want you to set an intention on where you want to be going next with your curriculum. And guys, someone's knocking on my door. Sorry, hold on one second. So what's your intention? And then whatever your intention is, whatever it is that you want to accomplish next, what belief is necessary for you to accomplish this? What's the belief that you want to kind of hold with you so that you can accomplish this? And so whatever that intention is, I want you to take a moment right now and really set it for yourself. Place a hand on your heart and close your eyes and really just breathe it in. Breathe it into your heart. Repeat it silently or out loud a couple of times. And speak to why you're setting this intention. Why is this intention so important for you? And then seal it in with a nice deep breath in and an exhale out. All right. So your homework is to continue on that next step and that next intention that you set for yourself. I'd love for you to share your intentions in the Facebook group as a way of just deepening that intention, especially now that our container is going to get a little looser and we won't be having another call until September, so you can really set it for yourself. Like I said, the Facebook group will be open. I will be in and out. I'd love to see you there. I would be just thrilled and honored if you're interested in the Sacred Depths coach training. There are people here that have been through it. If any of you want to write anything on it in the Facebook group, please do. Anybody have any questions for me before we wrap for today? Star two. All right. Well, I am thinking about all of you and can't wait to see what evolves next in your curricula. And, please post. I want to see what's going on. I'll see you all in September. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.